Okay, let's begin. Today, in honor of the seal of Masechta Shkalim, I'd like to share with you a few ideas relating to Masechta Shkalim from the Talmud. I'm just curious, how many people here participate in some way or form with the Daf Yomi? Okay, so I'm sure you all know yesterday was the beginning of Masechta Yoma. Shabbos was a Siyam. Anyone attend a Siyam of Masechta Shkalim? And Bechol, you have a Siyam, yeah?
Have
Berg made a Siyam?
Two guys.
So they have a Chidushim for the Siyam. It's a very hard Masechta to say a Torah Chidushim. It's very curious thing that Masechta Shkalim is included in the Seder of Daf Yomi. Why? Because Masechta Shkalim is not really part of Talmud Bavli. There is no, that we know of, any Masechta Shkalim from the Talmud Bavli. We have a whole Talmud Yerushalmi, but we don't learn Talmud Yerushalmi, yet for some reason it is included. This is a very big mystery as, first of all, how did it get into the Shas? How did it get into the printed editions of Talmud Bavli? And number two, just because it's there, how did it get into the Seder Halimud of Talmud Bavli? When they made this, Meir Shapiro created this program of Daf Yomi, why was it included? If you want to say it's because it was printed, so there are other things that are printed. You have there were other Masechtas that are printed in the Talmud, which are not included in the cycle. So this is a very interesting, very curious thing. So the truth is, there's a Sefer, I still call something Sefer HaYuchsin. Sefer HaYuchsin, it says that the Bali Toysim, the Bali Toysvis, I don't know, you know, are you familiar with Sefer HaYuchsin, anyone here? The Sefer HaYuchsin, it's a very old Sefer, and it says that the Bali HaToysvis had before them a Masechta Shkalim from the Talmud Bavli, which means it was lost from us. There's a debate if there ever was any other Masechtas, other parts of Shas. Like, you know, in Kutchum, we don't have Masechtas Bavli for many Masechtas. And L'chayr, there never was. They were never written, because there was only that much that the Ravina Rav Ashi were able to do. But did they ever actually write a Talmud Bavli version of Masechta Shkalim? So the Sefer Yochan says it did exist, and somehow it was lost from us. And it appears that is why we learn Masechta Shkalim was always learned as part of Talmud Bavli, even going back before the institution of the Daf Yomi, because there was once upon a time a Masechta Shkalim from the Bavli. And the proof to this is, there's a lot of rice to this, is that the Bavli, the Yerushalmi that we learn, that appears in the Talmud Bavli, is very different than the Masechta Shkalim that appears in the set of Talmud Yerushalmi. Right? There used to be this classic edition of Talmud Yerushalmi. It has all the various Masechtas, and it also has the Masechta Shkalim. The Masechta Shkalim there has 33 daf. 33 daf, and it's very different. The Nusach is different. There are many different things that don't appear in our version. So how could that be? If there's one Masechta Shkalim from the Yerushalmi, it should be identical in the version of the Talmud Yerushalmi and the one that's printed in the edition of the Talmud Bavli. The answer must be that there were two different versions, just like there are many different versions of the Masechtas, and the version of the Bavli was lost, and somehow there was an attempt to reconstruct the Bavli edition of Masechta Shkalim, which was unsuccessful. Most of it in the reconstruction process was drawn by looking at the Yerushalmi and taking pieces and trying to remember what was there, what was not there, and rewriting it in the best possible form. Obviously, it didn't work out very well, but the Zecher is the fact that it does appear. Yeah.
Would that throw off some of the things you told us in the past about the significance of the number of Masechta?
The number of Masechtos, there are how many Ba'al? There are 36, 30, what is it? I don't remember. It could be it would. I don't know how, okay, that's a very big mystery. Now, the first time it appeared, by the way, was in the Bramberg Shas, right? That's the first edition of the Shas. Anyone familiar with that? The Bramberg? That's
the fellow in the front is very familiar.
Hulari?
No, the other fellow. Who's that? Miller?
Yeah.
He has a copy?
No, he may have a copy.
Did you say the first shots were printed or first shots, period?
The first printed. For what was the first printed?
Sincino was the first print, though.
But the first...
Ramah was also printed.
Yeah, but Sincino was one of the earliest.
You wrote, a couple of books on the first editions of the Shah. He's an expert on it.
Really?
I have a safer on it, the printing.
Right, the printing of the Talmud.
That's what he wrote. He wrote it.
He wrote it?
Yeah, there was a guy here. He came over to me. I told him I bought the book. He says, I made it.
Right,
he said, I paid $75.
In that Shas.
No, it's a much older guy who told me.
Thank you.
Umberg?
Yes, it was the Bromberg edition.
I'm
19 to 15.
That was the first. What I've read, that was the first edition in which Masechet Shkalim was included in the Talmud Bavli. But the big mystery is there was another Masechet from the Yerushalmi that was included, Masechet Horios. So all of these theories of how did Masechet Shkalim make its way from Masechet Shkalim from the Talmud Yerushalmi make its way into the printing of the Talmud Bavli? Okay, you can say all these svaris that there once was a Masechet Shkalim from the Bavli, but how does that explain Masechet Horios? Masechet Horios also from the Talmud Yerushalmi was included in the Bromberg edition of the Talmud Bavli. So that's really that we don't. We learn Masechet Horios from the Bavli. We don't learn Masechet Horios from the Yerushalmi. So that's a very interesting mystery. Okay, by the way, it's very interesting that could be just another thing to throw out is that we learn Shas with the order. The first Masechet is Barachos, and the last Masechet is Nida. That's based upon the pasuk of Ahoyu Imunati Techa Chosin Yeshua's Chochma Vodas. We follow that Seder. But there's another Seder. There's another order. There's another Chazal. Taras Shem Tamima, Meshivas Nafesh, Nekudya Shem Yisham. There's a whole another order based upon another Medrash where the last Masechet in Shas is Masechet Horios. Mezakin is the last Seder in Shas. Shas begins, I don't remember the Seder where it begins, but it ends with Horios. And it makes a lot of sense because it learns about Horios. And then Ezekiel, and that's the end of Shas. So if you look and say that, that maybe would be the reason why they include Masechet Yerushalmi, being that it's the very end, in order to give chashivas to the Gemar, you included a Masechet from the Talmud Yerushalmi. And this is a trivia matter. Until the eighth cycle of Daf Yomi, they used to learn the Masechet Shkalim that had only... No, we have 22. 14, had
14 or 11?
11, I think. 11 dafim. That's the way it was printed in the old editions of the Shas. Masechet Shkalim. Our Masechet Shkalim in our Shasim today has 22 dafim.
Yeah.
The old editions have 11 dafim. And in fact, until the eighth cycle of the printing of the Daf Yomi, that was what was done. It was not. We have now 2,711 dafim. The entire Shas from beginning to end, the cycle 2,711, but originally it was 11 dafim less because they used the other edition of the Talmud, which Masechet Shkalim had only less dafim. Who made the decision to change? So they gave credit to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Moshe Feinstein says after when they started the eighth machzor, so they should learn Masechet Shkalim from the new printing, which had 22. It's hard enough to learn Masechet Shkalim 22. Certainly it's impossible to learn Masechet Shkalim with only 11 days in the old printing of the Shas. Okay, now Yerushalmi. One thing about learning Masechet Shkalim is that you come in contact with the limit of the Yerushalmi. It's a very interesting, different, whole different language, whole different sprach. You know, the Yerushalmi, the dafim start with daf aleph. In the Bavli, the dafim only start with daf beis. The Sharblad is daf aleph. But in the Bavli edition, it's very interesting. The Bavli edition of Masechet Shkalim also begins with daf beis. What's very interesting is very common. You get a feel for the lashon of the Yerushalmi. The alephs are always missing. Like Mar, in Bavli it's Omar. The Alephs, Elazar, you take out the Aleph. The Alephs are always, it's just a vowel, it's not important. But it's so funny is that the Aleph is the most prominent daf. And in the Yerushalmi, the Aleph doesn't go missing. The Bavli is the one that does away with the Aleph, daf Aleph. And use that for the Shavla. In the Yerushalmi, the Aleph is always the first daf. Now, there's a very famous var from Rav Chaim Zonfeld. It's impossible not to go to the Masechta without knowing this. You probably heard, just to repeat, just in case anyone didn't hear, that this beautiful gematria, the gematria is Tzion Bamishpat Tipodeh, is exactly the gematria Talmud Yerushalmi. Vishoveha Bitstaka is exactly the gematria of Talmud Bavli. So the entire pasuk together, Tzion ba mishpati padeh v'shaveha b'tzdaka, how will Tzion be redeemed through mishpat and its exiles with Staka is through the combination of learning of the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yerushalmi. I always tell you that the idea that many Mefarshim say is that in life you have to have the full experience. It's not just the full experience of going touring and going and visiting every country in the world. You have to have the full religious experience. Even if you never wear Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, once in your lifetime you should put on Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. Things that you would never otherwise do because it's not your minug. Once in a lifetime you should have the experience of what it's like. The same thing is very true when you learn Mesech, you learn Mesech the Shkolin. Most of us don't, it's hard enough to go to learn Daf Yomi, even one Daf is hard enough. But it's very interesting that built into the cycle is at least a taste of at least one Mesech of Yerushalmi. A person should not go through the entire Shas, spend your whole life learning Gemara, and not even a taste what it feels like to learn a daf in Yerushalmi, and to that degree, that's a very great accomplishment that Masechta Shkolim is included in the limud of the Daf Yomi to get at least a feel of what is Talmud Yerushalmi. Today it's become very, very popular. Today, due to Art Scroll, they printed the Art Scroll. A lot of people already began. They opened up a whole new world that no one would have touched years ago. Who would ever touch a Yerushalmi? This is like, you know, the elite of the elite. I know Adelska used to learn Yerushalmi. Used to have a seder learning Yerushalmi. But for the common man, it's not touchable, Yerushalmi. And now, Baruch Hashem, the Art Scroll has really broken it open. It's available in Hebrew and English. And it really starts with an appreciation of learning Masechta Shkolim, which does have a taste of Talmud Yerushalmi.
It was the my grandfather's old film, the Shas.
Yeah.
So after Nida, Balim Chafal.
Yeah.
Was it said Yerushalmi?
Yerushalmi.
One volume.
Yeah. And what included? What was there? The whole Yerushalmi. We intend.
I mean,
a short version.
A
short version. Okay, now the truth is the Masechta Shkolim is probably the most perfect Masechta for Daf Yomi, the theme of Daf Yomi. Why? What is it about Shkolim? He'oshir lo yarbe ve'hadal lo yamed mi machatzis ha-shekel. Machatzis ha-shekel is the great equalizer. No one is different. Everyone is exactly the same. Klal Yisrael, they are Talmidei Chachamim, and there are people that are even greater Talmidei Chachamim. There are people that learn Be'iyun, they learn Be'kiyas. Everyone does different things on their level. But Daf Yomi, it's like the Machsa Shekel. He'osher lo yarve ve'hadal lo yamet. Everyone is doing the same exact Daf. The whole theme of Daf Yomi so perfectly fits into what Machsa Shekel is all about. It's something where everyone is the same, everyone is on the same page. There's a Chazal. The Chazal say that it was a very different derech halimud between the Bavli, the people who learned in Eretz Yisrael, and the people who learned in the Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, they were pleasant to one another. When they would learn together, they had a lot of derech eretz. When someone said a kasha, they listen. Ah, it's a good kasha. Let's think about it. Someone gives an answer. You're very polite. Everyone is very polite.
Civil.
Very civil. In Bavel, it was violence. We learn in the Gemara that there are different stories where they even invoke their supernatural powers to bring down the Shemayim and the Aretz. Buildings would collapse. The Maisa with the Tanish Shalachnai. They demanded in Shemayim, who is the Halach? People were put in Cherim. Terrible, terrible things happened. What? Mulchamta Shal Torah. There were wars, real wars. And the question is, which one is better? Now the truth is, it's very clear from Chazal that the Talmud Bavli has more to it. Talmud Bavli, the Milchamta Shel Torah of the Talmud Bavli has produced a superior piece of work, and the product, the proof is, this is something which is studied, accepted throughout the entire world. Yerushalmi, it's Torah, it's jam-packed with Torah, but it doesn't have the same depth, the same qualities of the Bavli. And the Mefarshim explain, why is that so? It's because it's not a perfect world. And everything in this world has trade-offs. If you're going to learn with Mi'imus, so Chazal say there are two groups. There are the Chayvlim, the the damagers and the people that are pleasant to one another b'halacha. Those that are pleasant to one another in halacha are zu talmuda de Yushalmi. Those are the people who never Yisrael. The people who have violence, this is talmuda de Bavel. But one thing we do see that this approach to learning with this harshness did produce a superior product. It's a trade-off. There's no perfect world. If you're going to be harsh, you'll have a superior quality work, but you're not going to have those refined midos, which are so critical to develop to become a true Talmud Chacham. On the other hand, if you have the ne'imos, there's a danger that the person's not going to have the drive to delve into the depth, which will bring out the superior Derech Halim with the Muhammad Shaltar that comes in the Talmud Bavli. And the truth is, without Midos, Derech Eretz, Kadim L'Torah, you're not going to become a Talmud Chacham. Very interesting story about a certain Gadol, that he brought his Talmidim to one of the Gedolei Hadar. And he told the Gadol Hadar, wherever this probably before the war, this certain Talmud, there's no one like him. And they ate a meal with this very great person. And when the meal was over, the great person said to the Rebbe, "I disagree with you. The Talmud that you told me that there's none like, there's something wrong with him." "How do you know what's wrong?" "When they were eating," he said, "the sugar spilled on the table. And that student who you've praised, he licked his finger, and he stuck his finger into the sugar, and he licked it." He says, "That's not tzugepast for a Talmud Chacham. That's not, it's just not the way, there's something wrong." The kachava, the person did not, now the person became a very Talmud Chacham, then he left until he became a lawyer, he became a judge. And before he died, there were reports in the news that he was bribed. The whole scandal broke out. That's how the story reported. And this person was so amazed how they were able to predict years in advance that there's something wrong because the midos are not 100%. The goal of learning Talmud Yerushalmi is to develop the midos. You have the perfect blend of the Bavli, the Milchamta Shel Torah, against a backdrop of the pleasantness, the proper midos of the Eretz Kabbalah Torah that you find in Yerushalmi. That itself is an advantage that a person should never forget, just because everything is a trade-off. It's not possible to have a perfect world. The ideals are ni'imus with Milchamta Shel Torah.
You would never get a shirach there. The pages of Yerushalmi and Bavli,
yeah,
or the Masechtot,
they're not the same. No, they're not the same.
Is more can smooth.
There's another idea. This is a very popular idea. I saw in many Sfarim, in many Hakdamas to Masechta Shkolim, the following idea. The word shekel, nowhere in the entire Masechta does it say machzis hashekel. It's very interesting. We bring a machzis shekel, but nowhere in the Masechta does it say the word machzis shekel. The word shekel in Atbash, if you interchange shin, it becomes a base. When you interchange a kuf, it becomes a dalit. When you change a lam, it becomes a chaf. Now, atbash, you take the last letter, you match it up with the first letter. So shekel in atbash becomes base, dalit, chaf. Now, let's go to the next level. What is the gematria of base, dalit, chaf? 26. What is machsa shekel? This goes back to what we learned last week about Kaddish. Machsa shekel, 26 obviously, is the numerical value of Hashem's name. When a person is giving machsa shekel, what he basically is saying that in this world, Hashem's name is hef. It's chatzi. Just like we have in Amolek, yod al keis ka mulchamul Hashem ba Amolek. The purpose of Kaddish is this, that we yearn for the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be complete, when Hashem's name will be restored, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Bizman Hazeh, we only give Machtes HaShekel. There's a Medrash, I do not know where this Medrash is, that La'asin Lavo, the Midayik, listen to a Pasuk, La'asin Lavo, when it comes to bring to for the Beis HaMidrash, we're going to bring a Shekel. We're not going to bring any more machzis ha-shekel. We're going to give a complete shekel with the coming of Mashiach. So why now do we bring only a machzis hashekel? It's exactly because of this reason. Just like Amalek has done damage to Klal Yisrael and ki yaral keis kar melcham l'shem Amalek, so too we only give a machzis hashekel. What's the deeper meaning of a machzis hashekel? Again, the Atbash takes shekel into base dalet chaf, which is the numerical value of 26. Giving machzis means we're only giving half, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name bizman hazeh is only half until the coming of Mashiach. Okay, there's a very popular vart. The Mishnah begins, the Echad Ba'adar Mashmim al Hashkolim v'al Hakilayim. Why does the Mishnah group together Shkolim and Klayim? So the answer is, Shkolim represents the concept of Nedivus, to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By giving money, giving kesef to the Beis HaMikdash, you're coming close. The problem is, when you come close, you don't want to come too close. I mean, you don't want to, Machshek also means the only way you can come close, you have to join together with other people. Each person going gives a half. In order to reach the whole, you have to be mitzareif with other members of society in order to achieve the goal. The problem is, you have to be very careful who you mitzareif with. Not everyone you want to join with is 100% kosher. And that's why the balance for shkolim is the idea of kilayim. Kilayim is taruvis, a mixture of two things which do not work together. Machsa shekel, the essence is to give, come close by joining your half, can only be whole when you come together with someone else. Person always has to balance his act of nedivus with being certain that there is no taruvos, no mixture of anything which is impure. So again, machsa shekel is half with someone else. Balance that with being careful there should not be any kalayim. Okay, one last idea. Last idea, and I think this idea made an impression upon me. Why is it so important to learn this Masechta Shkolim, so critical to be included in the Seder of Elim? Now, one thing I left out, just going back one step, there's another very popular theory advanced why we learn Masechta Shkolim, because it would have been the only Masechta that would not have been studied in the Seder of Moed if we left it out. Bishlam, when it comes to Seder Kachim and Seder Tahara, Seder Zeroyim, so 90%, or not 90%, depending on the Seder, anyway, we're not going to learn. So what are we going to do? We're going to Chaparayim, the Masechta from the Yerushalmi. What are we going to accomplish? You have one more Masechta, one more difficult Masechta. You're not going to accomplish anything much anyway. But when it comes to Seder Moed, the only Masechta that's missing in the Seder is Masechta Shkolim. If you're not going to learn a Talmud of Shkolim, whether it be Bavli or Yerushalmi, you'll have an entire Seder which would have been studied with missing one Masechta. So in order that the Seder of Moed should have Hashlama, should be complete, we cannot complete it with Bavli because we're missing the Masechta Shkolim, but we can do the next best thing and learn a Masechta of Talmud from the Yerushalmi, which would that way at least be Mashlam the Seder, in that we have studied the Talmud on the Mishnah. Okay, and here's one little last idea. Once a year we have Shabbos Parshas Shkolim. That was an outgrowth of the Mishnah, Mashmim al Hashkolim, Machrizim al Hashkolim, that on the first day of Adar, time of the Beis HaMikdash, made a hachroza, they made an announcement, everyone should give the Machzis HaShekel. Now it's also during the time of the Mikdash, or going back early years, in addition to the hachroza, they also read the Shabbos before Parsha Zohar, they read Parsha Shkolim, like what we do Bizman HaZeh. That from Maftir, we take out a Sefer Torah and we read it in Parashas Kisisa, and we have a special Haftorah which reminds everyone that you are required to give a Machzis HaShekel, and we have the special Haftorah. What is the Haftorah for Parashas Shkolim? It's a section, Sefer Melachim, dealing with the construction or the renovations of the Beis HaMikdash by Yoyosh. Yoyosh was the Melech. Yehoyada was the one who saved him from Asalya. He was then acting as the Kohen Gadol. Yehoyada was the father of the later Zechariah, who would be murdered by Yoyosh. But at this point in time, everything is nice and good, everything is rosy, and we have Yoyosh the king, Yehoyada the Kohen Gadol, they're doing renovations, and to do the renovations, they interview the very first time to make pushkas. modern, this is the source of a pushka. They put pushkas in, they made a new system. It used to be this very strange system where people would collect, Kohanim would go collect on their own, and they would do with the money whatever they wanted. They would hire contractors to do things for the Beis HaMikdash, and no one really knew what was going on. Yoyash and Yehoyada made a new system where everyone should give the money directly to the Beis HaMikdash, centralize the collection of funds, and the Mikdash would take care of the renovation. At the end of the Haftarah, there's a very powerful pasuk which I believe really opens up the entire theme of Shkolim. The end of the Haftarah is Parsha Shkolim, V'lo yichashvu es ho'anoshim asher yitnu es ha'kesef al yodam lo'seis lo'oise ha'molocha ki ve'emuno heim oisem. Second to last pasuk. After this entire thing was put into motion, so there's a concern of fraud. There are people in charge, people are giving money, and especially the new system. In the new system, you did not know who was the collector. In the old system, you knew who was taking your money. You knew your local Kohen, you gave him money, and he did what he wanted with the money. In this new system, you don't know who got the money, you just come to the Beis HaMikdash, there's a pushka, you put the money in the pushka, and there are gizborim, and the gizborim, they come in, they clean out the pushka, and they do with the money whatever they seem fit. They represent the Beis HaMikdash. So the first thing that people are concerned, there's fraud. There's possibly more fraud the other way around than the old system. That's why they made a new system, but there's still a very great concern. I don't know who's getting the money. I'm just putting the money, putting my credit card, swiping my credit card, what's going on over here? No, it says here something extremely powerful. The very end of the Haftarah, there was no suspicion. Clear as day. Would not be pasuk in Tanakh if not for this fact. V'lo yichashavu es ho'anoshim asher yitnu es ha'kesef al yadam lo'seis lo'is ha'molacha ki ve'emuno he'moisim. Why does it make mention of this pasuk? So I believe this is a direct response to the machzis ha'shekel from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. One of the collections of the Machzis Shekel was for the Adonim. Which Adonim? The Adonim was not the Adonim for the Krashim. It was the Adonim for the Chotzer HaMishkan. The Chotzer HaMishkan had Amudim pillars, and the pillars were put into sockets. The sockets were made from silver. So it says in, so where did Moshe Rabbeinu get the money to make? There were a hundred sockets. There were a hundred sockets. Where did Moshe get the money for the sockets? From the Machzis HaShekel. The problem was, there was a surplus. There was a surplus of 1,775 shkolim that was collected over the 600,000 people. So what happened to that money? So Klal Yisrael, Chazal tell us that Klal Yisrael suspected that Moshe Rabbeinu pocketed the money. They did not believe that Moshe dealt with them in good faith. They were choshed Moshe Rabbeinu, because in Moshe Rabbeinu, in the beginning, he didn't know what happened to the money. All he knew was that most of the money, 95%, 99% of the money was used to make the first day Adonim, the Machzis Shekel, Bekel HaGolos, Machzis Shekel, Shekel HaKodesh, for the Adonim, and it was extra money. He did not know where the money went, so they said, you took it, you put it in your own pocket. You have it hiding, you're hiding it somewhere. And then finally, Moshe Rabbeinu remembered the Esra Elef, they use for hooks for the amudim. Moshe Rabbeinu was zochet to Chazal say special siyata deshmaya that he remembered what happened to the money, and no one can be choshe that he did anything wrong. So Chazal, very critical of Klal Yisrael, how could it be here they were choshe Moshe Rabbeinu? Everything that Klal Yisrael has only because of Moshe Rabbeinu, and yet here they suspect that there is some fraud, there is some wrongdoing in Moshe Rabbeinu's conduct. In where did they make it up? That's exactly the point of the Haftarah. The point of the Haftarah is that later in the history of Klal Yisrael, when it came again where they had to give donations to give funds to Beis HaMikdash and Sefer Melachim for renovations, the Pasuk says here is where Klal Yisrael in a later generation did tshuva, v'lo yachshavu, they did not suspect es ho'anoshim asher yitnu es ha'kesef al yadam lo'seis le'os ha'molocha ki ve'emuna he'moysen. Here is where they did tshuva. And that opens up for us a whole new understanding, a whole new dimension in the mitzvah Machzis Shekel. When you give Machzis Shekel, you have to have faith in the people that collect the money. It's not just like giving a masa shekel, I'm equal, everyone gives la ha'esh, la yabed, la yamamet, yamet, 50-50, we'll give exactly the same. But you're giving away your hard-earned money to the Beis HaMikdash. You have to have faith that the money, emuna, that the money is going to be put to a good purpose. And that's the hinge, that's the difference between the parish and the Torah and the Haftorah. Moshe, they suspected. They were choshed Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe need Hashem to remind them what happened. The Haftorah makes a very strong point. It's not a simul pasuk. There was the emuna heimoysen. What is the Beis HaMikdash? It's the place where you do avodah, you serve Hashem. Who is in charge of serving Hashem? The Kohanim, the spiritual leaders. Giving the Machsa Shekel also involves a concept of Emunas Chachamim. That you believe that the Chachamim, their Derech, their Mahalik, what they, their, it's a mashal. Giving the money to the Beis HaMikdash and making sure that the people in the Beis HaMikdash are going to take your money and not steal it and do the right thing with it is a mashal for the greater picture of what the Beis HaMikdash represents. It represents Hashem's Derech, Hashem's Torah, the Shechina, and the derech of hadracha for Klal Yisrael, who is in charge of being madrich Klal Yisrael in the derech hayashar, the talmidei chachamim, the kohen gadol, the talmidei chachamim, the leaders, and the point is, just like you need to have faith that no one's going to steal your money in the Beis HaMikdash, it's a marshal, you need to have emuna in the chachamim that they're guiding you in the derech hayashar in their mahalach of Torah. If there's any nesach that's so critical to the Talmud, the study of the Talmud, it's Mesach Teshkolim. If it's true that Mesach Teshkolim includes within it this concept of Emunas Chachamim, that's what it's all about. You're going to learn every Mesach, every daf you learn. If you don't have Emunah in the Chachamim, that the Torah that they're teaching you, they've handed down to you in Misinai, is MS, is Torah's MS, then there's no purpose. You might as well close the Gemara and go away. It's not, it doesn't start. The haschola of Talmud is all based on Emunas Chachamim. And where do we have Emunas Chachamim? Well, where do we have Emunah? Emunah in our very mundane existence is all that money. That's where Emunah is. You give someone money, what, you're going to steal my money? And Moshe Rabbeinu, they will choshed. Moshe emes v'toras emes. That is perhaps a very critical thing to keep in mind about Mesach Teshkolim. It is a Pesach to Shas. It's a Pesach to Talmud, because Talmud only begins when there is Emunas Chachamim. Okay, we'll stop here. I don't know if we can't have mincha, it's too early. Oh, my God, I'm going to go to the hospital. I'm going to go to the hospital. I'm going to go to the hospital.